was, I go, don't like to meet and greet during service. Thank you, whoever you are. Or who, I think there were a couple of you that said, please don't do the stand up, turn around, say hi to someone. Have you guys ever done that? I grew up doing that, man. And I always used to think to myself, why are we doing this? Because I don't know you. And in these 3 seconds that are about to pass, I'm not going to get to know you. So you always have to do this. You stand up and you turn around. And this is, I'm telling you, this happened to me almost every time. I stand up and then I kind of go, look around, and they're greeting other people, and you're standing there, and then inevitably, right before you have to sit down, someone kind of looks at you and sees you're feeling bad, and they're like, oh, hi, and then they sit down, and you're like, what do I do now? And that was churches I belonged to. Can you imagine if you were a new person? Hello, my name's Renaud. I mean, just, yeah, no, meeting and greeting, thank you. Should not focus on negative preaching. It's good. Punishment and guilt. I thought about doing a message on that next week, but I skipped. let's see. Do not repeat announcement videos in evening service. Tiffany, we love you. We do. I don't know who put that. I don't know. But if I find out, I'm excommunicating them. That's it. So I'm just kidding. So those are a couple of the, you know, a couple of the big ones that came up. You guys had a whole long list of community service, which, you know, honestly, as a pastor, it was very encouraging because probably the longest list that we had was the list of community and service ideas. And that just speaks so much to the heart of this church, doesn't it? That when you guys came up with ideas, the longest list we had was all the different things we need to do with community and in serving. So that was really neat. And then, like I said, fun and fellowship, you guys had some fun ones. More karaoke, there you go. More concerts, all right. Xbox night, it's coming, there you go. Teach biblical conflict resolution methods. Whoever you are, come see me afterwards. Tiffany, did you need that biblical conflict resolution? All right, so. Did I just reprimand you in public? Shoot, that was a no-no. All right, so pray for this. And then in church, we had a bunch of different things as well there that you guys came up with. So this was an excellent list. And as I went through the list of things that we need to do and don't need to do and should do, most of the things on this list will not surprise any of you. I mean, most of these things on this list you'll look at and go, yeah, that sounds great. Most of the things on the fun and fellowship list or on the service list are things that if I read that whole list to you, you'd go, yeah, we could do that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not one of them was like, oh, gosh, that's weird. We shouldn't do that. So here's this whole entire list. We have a total of 42 plus 12 plus 50. So we have a total of almost 100 different things we could do. How's that? 100 different ideas. And this was when we grouped together so many things that you guys all wrote. So that was really, really cool. So the big question on the table tonight is we've got all this stuff, and that's kind of what we did. We sat down and we had this long list of things we could do, and then we realized if we do all of them, that we'll probably die out as a church. Because there are a lot of churches. Have you ever been a part of churches that you get the bulletin, and it's like a 7-page document of activities and things going on? And you page through and you're just like, wow, where do I begin? I've been part of churches like that. They're massive, huge churches and they've got a billion things going on. And there's just a part of me that was just like, I just the complexity of it all just got to me. And so I just wanted to simplify down and I wanted to bring things down to some simple basic things so that when I'm talking to somebody for the first time in the lobby and they go, what do you do here? I could go, well, it's really simple. Here's what we do. And so we started thinking through, how do we create a sense here at Mosaic that everything is simple, everything is easy, and yet there's lots of things that you can get involved in? And that's a tough combination to have. And so tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you guys kind of a couple of things that we've boiled down to say this is Mosaic Church. This is who we are. This is what we do. These are our priorities, and this is kind of the way we want to be, okay? So did you get those four categories? This is who we are, this is what we do, this is our priorities for this year, or these are our priorities for this year, and this is kind of just who we, the way we want to be. Okay? Are you with me? So we're going to walk through that, and then when we're done with that, then I'm going to take you guys into some of the practical workings of the church a little bit. That includes budget and ministries and how we do things. And then I'll open it for Q&A, and you guys can ask away. All right? So you with me on tonight, how we're going to run through this real quick? Okay. Now, you will be encouraged to know, by the way, that the core values of the church, which we're going to go through in a second, I took your list from last, not from this last week, but from the week before. Remember the list we did on who we need to be as a church? There wasn't a single item on that list that didn't fit into the core values that we've established. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's awesome to me that you guys, the stuff you came up with, we looked at it and we went, everything there fits perfectly into what we have. Now, if you guys have your Bibles with you, you can grab a Bible on the table. I want you to actually turn with me real quick to the book of Matthew, would you? Book of Matthew, we're going to go to chapter 22. It's on page 686 in our Bibles. Or you can just turn in your own Bible. I want to start us off here tonight because this is a very, very important place for us to start. When somebody says to me, Renaud, why do you do church? I mean, why does your church exist? Why are we here? I mean, think about it. Other than giving you guys all an excuse to do something on Sunday, why is it that we live and breathe? People ask me that question all the time because I moved out here to plant this church. So people always go, why do you do that? I mean, why did you come out and plant a church? I mean, why are you even doing church? I mean, you're a pastor. You need a raise. Did I slip that in there real well? Okay, just kidding. I don't need a raise, by the way, just so you guys know. Here's the thing. If it all comes down to why we are, just why we are, this is why we are. Go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. You ready? And listen carefully. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. I always love it when these guys get together. Just, it's a fight waiting to happen. One of them, an expert in the law. Oh, he's important. Tested him with this question. I always love it. I can see Matthew sitting there going, oh, it's an expert of the law about to test Jesus. Let's see how this plays out. Teacher, which was a wonderful and amazing statement to give anyone in that time because teacher was a sign of respect and a sign of saying, I acknowledge you as someone who is greater than me, okay? The only time it's not used in that wonderful respect is when the Pharisees are using it for Jesus. It is a derogatory term that they use for him. They're being sarcastic. They're like, teacher. Because think about it. He's about to test him. Okay, and he goes like this. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Who's asking him this, folks? An expert in the law, right? And this guy is an expert in the law. This is his thing. And he looks at Jesus and he goes, tell me now, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And God himself, the one who established the law, answers this way. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen, in verse 40, right there. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Folks, don't miss the significance of what Jesus just said there. Because all of the communication to the human race at that time was through what? Was through the law and the prophets. Okay, you with me? Because at this time when Jesus is speaking, they hadn't written the Gospels, right? There was no New Testament. There was no Jesus on the scene because they didn't know he was the Messiah yet. I mean, they knew it, but they didn't know it. Are you with me? So Jesus is speaking in their world, in their context, and this is what he said. He dared say that every piece of communication that God has ever sent to humanity hangs on these two commands. It hangs on love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Which means that if we boil every law down, every prophet down, every communication that God ever gave to humanity down to its lowest common denominator, it would boil down to those two commands. Love God and love your neighbor. I mean, isn't that amazing that you can take the entire Bible and Jesus could boil it down in 1 second to those two things? Do you know what the church does poorly? Love God and love neighbors, in my opinion. The church does that poorly a lot of the time. There are churches that do it very well. But I think the church in general in the Western culture does it poorly because we've gotten so caught up in all of the other laws and the prophets that we forget that they were all there to boil down to this single common denominator. So we sat down long ago when this church first started and we talked about if people said, "Why are you here?" what that would be. And we came up with this little statement. We exist to demonstrate our passion for God and to demonstrate his passion for people. Now let's boil that down for a second. If we are going to demonstrate our passion for God, what does that mean we have to do? We have to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And if we are going to demonstrate his passion for people, what does that mean we have to do? How do we demonstrate God's passion for people? We love them. That's what we do. We love them. We love them beyond any of their wildest dreams. We love them beyond their imagination. We love them to the point where they look at us and go, "Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. You are supposed to judge me. You don't understand. I know who I am. When I walk in the doors of a church, I am supposed to be judged. That's why I don't come to church. Why do you love me?" And we go, "Well, because every command, every law, every prophecy drives us here. We exist as a church to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and to love our neighbor as ourselves." In other words, in our words, we exist to demonstrate our passion for God and his passion for people. Okay, everything else we talk about tonight hangs on those two things. Are you with me? Don't you ever forget that. Nothing overrides that. Nothing supersedes that. That is why we exist. And if anything else we do supersedes one of those two things, then we shouldn't be doing it, period. End of story. Okay? Now, as we thought about boiling this down practically, how do we boil this down practically? I mean, how do we as a church on a daily basis function in making sure that we're the kind of people that follow that very thing? Here's what we do. 2 weeks ago, you talked about who we need to be as a church. If you take all the things you guys did and you boil them down into categories, then you take those categories and you put them under titles, there were 6 things that we came up with, 6 core values that make up who we are as a church. These 6 things are the 6 things that I believe as your pastor, that if we live out these 6 things, that loving God and loving people will be the natural result of these 6 things. Are you with me? So these 6 things are what we need to be in order to fulfill the reason that we exist. For the next 50 years, as long as I'm here, these 6 things we are going to strive to accomplish in this church. These are our core values, okay? Let's take a look at them. You guys can see up here. Here are the 6 things. We will be a church that will be marked by a passion for God, wisdom and knowledge, uncompromising integrity, intentional community, engaging culture, and global impact. Those are the 6 things. Read them for a second. Don't just listen to them. Read over them for a second. See, these six things, if I think about our community, I think about Oakland and Claremont and Winter Garden and Orlando and the whole area. I think about the world that will be impacted by this church. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, if you're walking through the streets of any of these places and you bump into somebody and you start talking and they find out that you go to Mosaic Church and you ask them this question, if you think about Mosaic Church, if you think about it, what is it that you've heard or that you know about that church? I want them in their own words to say, "Well, I've heard, J. Jeff, can you throw that back up there? I've heard that they just have a tremendous passion for God. I mean, I've heard that. I've heard that when you need wisdom, when you need knowledge, when you need a place where you can go and someone will just, they just know what to say. They just know what to say. You can go to Mosaic Church. People have told me they've gone there and people just know what to say to them. If you talk about a place that's just amazing in their integrity, oh, you should, I mean, Mosaic Church, you could, there's nothing hidden. What happens behind closed doors is what happens in front of open doors. What happens with their money, anybody can know. What happens with their time, anyone can know. What they do as a staff is what they do in front of the church. There is no hidden agendas. There is nothing behind anything. It's all there. It's all open. You know what? They're home. They're family. You can walk in there as a stranger and you can feel it. It's like a family there. They're big, but they're a family. They're a really big family. It's really cool. And whenever you bump into someone from Mosaic, they engage you. They really do. You're intrigued by what they have to say. And I've heard they're changing the world. I've heard they're doing that. Did you hear they built that house for that family here in Oakland? And did you hear they paid off that person's debt? And I heard they went over to Kazakhstan and did some stuff. And I hear there's orphanages all over the world being changed by this church. I mean, they just keep doing cool things like that. That's what I want people talking about. I've taken these six things, and I took the entire list you guys came up with 2 weeks ago. I went through item by item to see if there was any items on the list that didn't fit under one of these six things. You know that it wasn't a single item? Not a single item. Every item you guys came up with as far as what a church should be fit under one of these six categories perfectly. I didn't even force the fit. Because I can do that. I didn't force it. I was just like, yep, that fits under uncompromising integrity. Yep, that fits under global impact. Yep, that fits under intentional community. This covers it all. People say to me, Renaud, I don't see anything about prayer in here, for instance. Shouldn't prayer be a high priority for a church? Folks, if knowledge and wisdom marks us and we're not praying, then knowledge and wisdom doesn't mark us. Are you with me? So these are the core values that should cover many other things that we as a church will be. If we are passionate about God, do you think worship is going to be a high priority at this church? Yes. How can you be passionate about God without worshiping him in everything that you do? So these things start covering, how do we love our community around us if we're wanting to be engaging in the culture and intentional about community? Don't you think we'll love people? Because if we're not loving people, we can't do those two things. So each one of these things covers a category like that. I want you as a church, if you call Mosaic your home, then I want you to take these six things. I'm going to post them on the website under the page. I want you to take these six things and I want you to read over them this week. I want you to think about them and I want you to memorize them because these are the six things that are going to be the markers for who we are. Now, I've taken words and created six words that I think describe each one of these six things. Here they are. Ready? If people said, tell me about Mosaic, this is what I hope they'll say 10 years from now. They're passionate. They're wise, they're honest, they're loving, they're relevant, and they're giving. Can you imagine a church that is genuinely passionate, wise, honest, loving, relevant, and giving? Wouldn't that be a cool place to be? Whether you're a believer or not, whether you know Christ or not, it won't matter. It'd be a cool place to be because you can trust them and they can help you and they're passionate and they're loving and they're real and relevant to your everyday life and they're giving themselves away all the time. So there it is. Folks, Mosaic Church, as long as I'm pastor here, we will be working hard to become passionate, wise, honest, loving, real, and giving. That's what we're going to work to be. So if you call this your home, there it is. That's what we're going to become as a community, okay? So that is who we are, who we are. Now, what are we going to do as a church, okay? The things we're going to do. This is just practical stuff we're going to do. So remember that long list I just told you about the 100 things you had? Whew, can't do them all, right? But we can do a bunch of them. So I try to boil this down into simplicity again. And this is kind of what we came up with. This is what we do as a church. If anyone ever asks you, what do you do at Mosaic? What do you do? You can tell them in five things. Here's the five things we do, okay? We have Sunday worship services. Now, that might be Saturday worship service. I just put Sunday in there, but we have worship services, okay? I don't know why Sunday's even in there because I put it in there. I don't know why I put it in there, but we have worship services. We have places where we can gather to worship God corporately, okay? That might be on a Wednesday, it might be on a Sunday, but we have worship services here. We have life groups. We have life groups. How many life groups can we do? There is no limit. How many different kinds of things can we do in life groups? There is no limit. You come up with it, we'll try it. But we do life groups. What is a life group? It is a group of people doing life together. That's what defines a life group. People doing life together, which means that if you're doing life together, you have to be talking to each other and interacting with each other. And so whether you're riding motorcycles or playing ping pong or having a woman's Bible study, it doesn't matter. You're doing life together, okay? Then we have growth groups. By the way, growth groups, it's a new name. I just came up with it. My staff are probably going to go, you didn't tell us about growth groups. And I'm going to go, yeah, I know. Because it might be a dumb name and it's probably going to change. But just, I was trying to think about how I'm, because there was this missing piece. I had the four, you know, and I didn't have growth groups. And I'm like, there's a missing piece here. And then this piece came to me, all right? So here it is. What is a growth group for now, okay? A growth group is any place where we are educating you. Okay? So for instance, if we do Crown Ministries where we're teaching you how to handle your finances, I would call that a growth group. If we're doing classes on parenting here, we're going to start doing that this year, I would call that a growth group. If we're doing, if we're going to have seminars here on marriages, building strong marriages, we've got a couple that's going to come in and do seminars for us like every semester. We're going to do a weekend for all of you married folks out there to just come in without your kids, and we're just going to build into you healthy health for your marriages, okay? That would be a growth group. If we're doing a class on theological topics on a Wednesday night here at the church, I would call that a growth group, okay? So growth groups will be where we, the church, are bringing together an opportunity for you to learn, okay? To grow in specifically. Now, is a Bible study a growth group or a life group? Well, a Bible study would fall under life groups because it's a bunch of people doing life together. A growth group would be more something where it's kind of what I'm doing now. Are you with me? That would be a growth group. So we will have this year, I can already tell you, we're doing Crown Ministries this year. We are starting a Crown Ministries group here pretty soon that'll have some couples in it that have already done Crown Ministries that will be growing as leaders, so that in the fall when we launch Crown Ministries for the rest of you, that you guys will be able to jump in and learn how to steward your finances well. Crown Ministries is an amazing organization that teaches us how to handle our money well. Okay, we are going to do parenting classes. Why? Because we have a billion kids in this place. And I need help parenting all the time. So we're going to get some experts in who can help us parent our children well. We'll do parenting classes for young children, parenting classes for teenagers, you know, so that you, if you have teenagers, you can do that. We'll be doing that this year. We're going to be doing classes for marriages, whether it's classes or seminars or whatever, to build into your marriages. Those are this year, the three areas that we're going to work on growth groups on. Marriages, parenting, and finances, stewardship of your life, okay? And then we have service teams, missions teams, whatever you want to call it. These are the teams that locally and globally will go out into the world to change the world, okay? These are the teams that will spend themselves for the sake of others. We will be going to orphanages. We will be building houses here in the local community. We will be paying people's debts off. We will be helping people do their yards. We will be doing whatever we can find ourselves to do that will serve the community locally and globally. Okay, so that's what we do. We do worship services, life groups, growth groups. We have service teams, and then we do events. And events are basically community, getting together, having fun. I mean, that's what we do. So what are the limitations on our events? There are none. It's an event. You do it. We all get together and we have fun. If we go to the Springs, that's an event. If we have an Easter thing, that's an event. If we all get together for a concert, that's an event. So these are the events that we do, okay? So everything we do at Mosaic, if it doesn't fit under those five things, we shouldn't be doing it. Are you with me? At the same time, we've allowed ourselves quite a bit of wiggle room there, haven't we? Because a life group could be a support group of some kind. It could also be a Bible study. It could also be a bunch of people going for a motorcycle ride. So we've got a lot of wiggle room in here, but this is what we do as a church. We have worship services, life groups, growth groups, service teams, and events. We're not going to try to do much else. Now, 20 years from now, we might change this list, but for now, this is it. This is what we do. And when you look at a big bulletin, this is what you'll see. See the life group list, see the growth group list, see the events calendar, see the service teams, and see you on Sunday. Okay? That's what it's going to say, because it's going to be simple, because that's what we do. This is what we can be good at. the priorities for 2007. Now we're jumping from big picture, core values and what we do, into a smaller picture. Okay, this is just for this year. 2007, as a staff, this is what we've decided we want to focus our energy and time on. Okay? And here it is. We want education to be a priority for this year. We want people to learn. We want integration to be a priority. We want people to belong. We want delegation to be a priority. We want people to serve and lead. We want organization to be a priority. We want people to find it easy. What does that mean? If you're serving and leading in our church, we want it to be easy for you. So we, the staff, want to be organized enough so that when we ask you to do something, you're not fussing around going, I would do it, but you guys aren't helping me at all. Okay? Because we've been a small church, that happens a lot around here. And so we are working this year to make sure that doesn't happen anymore. So that you guys who lead and serve in this body, you know that we make it easy for you because we are organized. And then reputation. We just want people to know Mosaic, meaning you guys, really. I mean, because and that's part of what we're doing tonight, part of what we do Coffee with the Vanderits for now, part of what we do other things that we'll try to do this year that just kind of lets you know, hey, this is who we are. We don't want to feel like people go, I don't know much about them. Because as soon as you get there, you have to start asking yourselves, are they trying to hide something? And we want to be honest, don't we? Absolutely honest. And so we want nothing hidden. There is nothing to hide. So we want to just go, here's who we are. Naked I stand. And that's what we want to do. So we want those five things. This year, just know as a staff, this is what we're working on. Okay? We are working on educating people. Thus, walking through the Bible on Sunday mornings because I felt like we just needed to educate ourselves some. Doing all these growth groups will be part of our education that we're going to be doing. So we just want to educate people. And then, of course, belonging as the church grows, we are going to work very hard to make sure you guys belong. That this isn't just home because it feels warm and fuzzy when you walk in the lobby. That this is home because you are part of the functioning of every day here at Mosaic. And then delegation, we want you to serve and lead. We want you to find it easy and we want you to know who we are. Those are our priorities. Now, last thing, I want to state for the record that I stole this directly out of a book. But I liked it so much that I'm okay with stealing it because it's not in any official form. It's just, I love this, okay? If you just talk about how we want to be, this isn't who we are. This is just, this is how we want to be. If people go, this is how they are. Whenever you bump into them, that Mosaic Church, this is how they are. They're welcoming. They're real, they're considerate, they're knowledgeable, and they're involved, okay? This is from a Starbucks book, believe it or not. This is from the Starbucks Experience. You can go and pick it up and read it. And whoever wrote this, I believe they might have been reading the Bible. I believe they were. But believe it or not, that Starbucks employees, this is what they get trained to do. Because this is what Starbucks figured out. If you're welcoming and real and considerate and knowledgeable and involved, people come and people stay, and they buy our coffee. This, for Starbucks, is money, baby. I mean, it's money. It's money in the bank right there. Have you ever walked into a Starbucks? Have you noticed in Starbucks? I mean, it's the Super Target Starbucks is a little, you know, not quite as up on this, but they're pretty close. You walk in, you go in there enough times, they know your name, and they know what drink you like. They know your name, and they know a unique thing about you. They're welcoming, aren't they? And then, you know what else? They'll chat with you. So how's your day? And what's going on? And they'll tell you something about themselves. This has happened to me so often. I got to know a lot of people through Starbucks because they would just talk. They're trained to do that. Can you believe it? They're trained to be real. I love that. And then consider it. This idea that they train them to know that the person you're serving is more important than you. You don't get angry at them. If they don't like their drink and they look at you and go, I don't like my drink, you go, I'm so sorry about that. I'll make you a brand new one right now. I apologize for the inconvenience that this horrible drink has caused you. I don't care if in the back of your mind you're going, I made this drink. I poured my heart and soul into it. And you don't like it? At Starbucks, you were trained to know without a shadow of a doubt that the people around you are more important than you. Isn't that amazing? I read that once in the Bible, I think. Consider others better than yourself. Knowledgeable. Have you ever tested the Starbucks people? Once I read this, I've begun to, I'll walk into Starbucks. I did this the other day. I said, hey, what is that drink over there? The boy, you try it, man. Those Starbucks people. Oh, well, it's a 14% of this and 12% of that. And then you put a little steam on here. And that's what it is. And it kind of tastes like this. And it has this kind of flavor. I think you'll like it. How do you know I'll like it? You just look like the kind of guy that would like it. I mean, they really know their stuff. If you ever ask a Starbucks employee, do you know where the beans come from for all the stuff? They do. They know. If you ever ask them, do you have any African coffee? Well, no, you know, we don't have currently African coffee, but all of our coffee comes from these three regions, and it's mixed into this, and it's really this, and I recommend that. You just go, well, how do you know all this stuff? They teach them. It's amazing. They're trained to be knowledgeable and then involved. Do you know that all the managers at Starbucks are trained to look for ways in their community that they can get involved? Have you ever noticed when you walk into Starbucks, they're always involved in doing something in the global community? Their cups are suddenly, you know, biodegradable or whatever it is. They're constantly up on something. In the book, they had story after story of Starbucks managers that did things. My favorite story was the one where they went to a subway one morning. I don't even know where it was, but it was one of the big cities like Boston or something. Went into the subway, set up a big, huge coffee booth, and they had sample coffees, and they just served thousands of sample coffees for free to all the commuters that morning. Can you believe that? How fun is that? See, for them, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because Starbucks then becomes this thing to people that they go, wow, I like Starbucks. The next time you're walking by and you see a Starbucks, you go, those were the people that gave me the free coffee in the subway. So you go in and you buy a cup of coffee. Why does Starbucks do this? Because they're nice? No, not because they're nice. Because they're smart. Because they want people to buy their coffee. And people do. Fastest growing coffee chain on the planet. You know, I read last year they were opening 150 stores a day worldwide. Can you believe that? I'm like, that blows my mind. I'm trying to open one store, and they're opening 150 a day. Wow. There it is. So I started thinking, you know what? What if this church felt like that? What if you walked into Mosaic on a Sunday, or you bumped into a Mosaic person on a Wednesday, and instantaneously you just felt like the people there, they're welcoming, they know your name, and they discover unique things about you. They're real. They talk to you about their lives and their stuff. They're considerate. They always constantly are doing things you wouldn't expect them to do that puts them in inconvenient spots and puts you in convenient spots. They're knowledgeable. I mean, you ask anyone in the church about the church, and they're like, oh, yeah, I know this and I know that. They're knowledgeable about the community. They're knowledgeable about what goes on, and they're involved. You talk to someone in Mosaic, you never get someone who goes, I think you should join a life group. Are you part of a life group? Oh, no, I don't do life groups. What do you do at the church? Nothing. I come on Sundays, but you should get involved. When they bump into people, they bump into people going, oh, yeah, I'm part of this, and I'm part of that, and I'm involved in this, and I'm doing that, and I'm serving here, and I'm doing that. Not because we all want to be crazy busy, but because we're involved. And when they talk to the church as a whole, we're involved in the community. This church is everywhere, all the time, doing everything, because we're just involved. How cool would that be? Are we doing it so people can buy our coffee? Well, no, because our coffee's free, so that wouldn't really help, would it? If we sold our coffee, then that might be a good motive. But it doesn't work for us because our coffee's free. Our concerts are free. Our events are free. Everything we do is free. So obviously money is probably not the motive behind this for us. What is the motive? I'll tell you what the motive is. It's very simple. People need to know that we are passionate about God and that what? God is passionate about them. And if this helps people go, why? And we go, because God loves us. Because God loves you. Then we are doing exactly the thing that we exist to do, to help people know God's love by demonstrating our passion for him and demonstrating his passion for people. So, ways of being. Now, you ready for this? Here we go. Last jump of the night in terms of this stuff. Who or what is the church? It's a question. It's not rhetorical. We are. That's right. Okay, now listen, folks. This is very, very important, what I'm about to say. In fact, this is the most important thing you'll hear tonight. Okay? We are the church. You guys and me together. The chairs aren't the church. The staff isn't the church. The elders aren't the church. we together are the church, which means, are you ready for this? If the church is going to be passionate about God, how does that happen? It's when we are all passionate about God. Are you with me? So if half of you are not passionate about God, then the church is not passionate about God. Uncompromising integrity, honest. If the church is going to be honest, then who needs to be honest? We need to be honest. If half of us are constantly compromising in our integrity, then the church is not honest. Even if we, the staff, are honest here, and the church's money is honest, the church is not honest until we are honest. Are you with me? So those six things are about you and about me. They're not about Mosaic, because we are Mosaic. So you need to look at those six things again and go, oh, shoot, I didn't know there was a quiz. I didn't know this was about me. Yes, it's about you. So as a pastor, when I think about what my job is, what my call is to help you, this is what I would call shepherding, is to help you move from wherever you are in life to wherever God wants you to be in life. And in my opinion, after all the stuff we've done, God wants us to be those six things. He wants us to be passionate, and he wants us to be honest, and he wants us to be wise, and he wants us to be loving, and he wants us to be real and relevant, and he wants us to be giving. So guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be spending my time becoming those things, and I'm going to be spending my time helping you all to become those things. Because if we are those things, then Mosaic is those things. You with me? That's why this is so important. This is why you need to know these things, because this is what you're becoming. And this is who we're going to be. Okay, so that is Mosaic's core values. That is Mosaic's essence, Mosaic's DNA, okay? As far as what we believe, our statement of faith, that's on the website. Here's what I did with a statement of faith, just so you guys know. You guys can go and read the statement of faith and call me if you have any questions about that. But the statement of faith, what I did is I read hundreds of statements of faiths from lots of churches, not hundreds maybe, but a bunch, okay? And as I looked at them all, it's funny how there's all sorts of subtle things and differences and things. So I try to boil it down, again, to low common denominators. I try to figure out which things were critical, which were absolutes. Jesus Christ is the God of the universe, one with the Father and the Spirit, and they rule over everything, and they created everything, and they sustain everything. I'm going to run with that. That's good. If those things are not true, then we're in trouble, okay? So I picked things like that. I picked things about the Bible, that the Bible is God's word, and that it is written through men, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that it is the communication to man in its original form, and that translations have messed some things up, but in its original form, it is inerrant, meaning that it is true, absolute. Yes, I stand by that. In the end times, there is no doubt in my mind that we will be pre-wrath, post-millennium, second degree. No, I didn't put any of that in because it doesn't matter. Are you with me? I mean, I could walk out of this building, get hit by a bus, and there is my rapture, baby. Woo! I'm out of here. Okay, so I looked at that and I went, we can talk about it. I love talking about stuff like that. I've studied all the books. I love it. I'm a theologian at heart. So you want to talk about Calvinism and Arminianism? Come, we'll talk. I love it. You want to talk about end times theology? Yes, anytime. Is it going to be in our statement of faith? Absolutely not. Because it just doesn't matter. And if it matters to you that those things aren't, then this is not probably the place where you're always going to be comfortable. Because all that matters to us are the key main things. And the rest is on the table for discussion. We'll have fun with it, but we're not going to argue about it. We're not going to fight about it. We're not going to split about it. We're not going to run away about it. Because the truth is, are you ready for this? I'm a relatively smart guy. I've read a relatively good amount of information. Nobody really knows the answers to most of these things. Because I can read great theologians on both sides of the coin on most of these issues and go, he sounds right, man, but so does he. And then you realize neither of them know. But they write like they know. Oh, I absolutely know this. I can't wait to stand there with God one day and go, these are the two guys that wrote the two books. Could you Can you tell me? And God go, you both did a great job with the books, really. Actually, neither of you were right, but great job on the books. See, I just prefer to be there going, I kept mine simple, God. I only had these 10 and that's it, because the rest I really didn't know. And so that's where we stand on our statement of faith, okay? Read the statement of faith. If you have questions beyond that, hey, call me. Go, Renaud, what do you believe about this? Because that was in the statement of faith. I'll tell you what I believe. I'll tell you where I stand. I don't have any apology about that. I have stands on all these things that I think, as best I can tell, is probably accurate. But that's the best I got, is I think best I can tell is probably. And so it's not in our statement of faith, okay? So there it is. Then, ministries. We boil this church down to the following categories. You ready? We have our children. They are a unique breed, and we need to care for them in a unique way. So we have a ministry for children that is uniquely for children. We hire people to run that ministry, and they do children's. Then we've got our junior high students, which I wish you could tie them to children or to high school, but you can't. They are a unique breed, and so we have them. So we hire people to work with those wonderful children and to meet them where they are needing to be met, because that unique time in life, so many important things happen that we as adults will miss if we're just doing adult ministry. Then we have our high school students. Thank you. What more should I say about that? We hire lots of people. Thanks for planning too. Just wanted to. So you got your high school students, and those high schoolers, they're going through their own set of stuff, and they need to be uniquely cared for. And then we have adults. You with me? And that's it. Woo! Thank you, Bill. Okay. So here's where it boils down to. You ready? This is what it boils down to. We have children's, we have junior high, we have senior high, and we have adults. And that's what we focus on here as the church. Now, some of you might be saying, now hold on a second. But the adults, there's like a million faceted groups in the adults. You've got your young adults, you've got your career adults, you've got your young married adults, you've got your young single adults, you've got your old adults, you've got your medium adults, you've got your small children adults, you've got your teenager adults. I mean, there's so many adults out there. And I go, yes, I hear you. I'm not hiring people for any of those groups, okay? Here's what I'm doing. We have, you ready for this? We have life groups, growth groups, we have events, and we have service teams. And believe me, I don't care what age you are, where you find yourself in life, or what's going on, you can find a home in one of those places where you can be cared for. So again, we want to keep things simple here. We care for adults. We care for high school students, junior high students, and kids. Those are the four separate categories that this church will function in, okay? And then everything else we do will fit under those four categories. All right, then, last thing. That's kind of how we do things here. Last step, budget. Here's how the budget plays out at this church. I'm going to give you a very, very quick overview, and if you have more questions about budget, you can feel free to come and talk with me. We run currently, and I'm not going to go back in history about how it's all gone, but currently this year, our fiscal year runs from April 1st to April 1st. That's how we decided to run it, because it goes with the tax stuff and certain things. So April, when you think of money and you think of our year, you think April 1st to April 1st. So our budget is set for an April 1st through April 1st year. The way we run things is April 1st to April 1st. Are you with me? So what does that mean? Where are we right now? We're in March at the end of the year, and we're about to enter a brand new year, okay? So we are currently working on the budget for the fiscal year 2008. So that's this April to next April, because you do fiscal year by where it ends, not by where it starts. So fiscal year 2008 is the one that's just coming up now, all right? I'm going to be talking with you guys about fiscal year 2007, because that's what I know. What I don't know yet is 2008. What I know about 2007 is we ran a budget of about $500,000 this year. That's about where we stood, okay? That was the budget that we were working on. That budget includes all the salaries that we pay the church, I mean, that we pay the people in the church. Salaries include our full-time staff, our intern level staff, like Brittany was intern level, now she's moving into part-time level. So, and it includes the different things we pay different people, small little stipends to help out with different things when their time is so extreme that we're basically feel like we're either using them if we don't give them something to let them know we care about them. That's the salary area, that whole section, okay? Then we have operations. Operations is the running of the day-to-day stuff at the church. You turn a light on, operations kicks in, okay? Something breaks, operations kicks in. All right? You need to garden outside. Operations kicks in. So, and under operations, you've got building. That's one area of operations. And then you've got the running of the church, the paying of all the bills that we have, the stuff when we do events, that's that would fall under, currently that fell under operations. This next year, that's going to change a little bit because it'll fall under its own category now that we have established events. But basically, operations is anything that happens that doesn't have a category of its own that means the church can run, that we can do what we have to do. Are you with me? Then we have our ministries. Each ministry has a budget. For instance, student ministries has a budget. Their budget this year, I think, was $600 a month. As was the children's ministry budget, as was the administrative budget that's kind of running all the admin in the place. And then we had budgets for things like the events. We had a budget for all the events. We had a budget for certain things that we do that. So we've got our budgeted categories, we've got our operations, and we've got our salaries. Those are the main, I'm giving you a big overview right now. It's more detailed than this, but that's basically the overview. Everything goes into one of those categories. So every dime we spend, we use QuickBooks. And so because we're a church, we have to be on top of every receipt. We have to be on top of everything because churches, they watch them, you know. So everything we spend, every dime we spend is categorized, checked, and put into a particular area. And so we know at the end of every single month, student ministries is over again. Man, seriously, somebody get a handle on that guy? Okay, so actually student ministries hasn't been over that often, so that's cool. Children's ministry is under again. Carrie, you got to spend more money, kiddo, seriously. All right, so here's the deal. We can track, and we do track constantly, how the money comes in and how it goes out and what we do. We've got our fixed expenses and we've got our monthly expenses. Now, $500,000 is what we spend at this church, what we spent in 2007 just on the on that stuff. Missions was actually over and above that because we raised some of that funds from the outside, right? Of that $500,000, you ready for this? This is how it plays out. We do not bring in $500,000 a year from this church, okay? Mainly because a lot of you guys are new, and I get it. You guys are going, this is, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to get to know the church and stuff. Plus, we've never wanted to be, it's one of my hearts, never to be the typical, we're here to take your money. Okay? I want it to be a act of worship from the heart. So we've been very careful how we deal with money here at Mosaic because I've seen other churches do it very badly, and I don't want to be one of those churches. And so money, we are incredibly blessed because we have some people outside of this church that live in other states in the United States that don't get any benefit whatsoever from what we do week to week. And they buy into the vision here, and they supply our needs in unique and wonderful ways. Now, there is a couple of people, some of my friends from California and stuff, that monthly send $500 a month, $200 a month, $10 a month, and they've been sending it for 4 years faithfully. Every month we get a check in the mail. No other reason except for the fact that they love what we do here and they believe in us. They believe in you. They believe in what I put on this board and they believe that we're going to become those things. And so we carry that burden, that responsibility to say, you believed in us, we're going to live up to what you believed in. And then we have a primary donor who gives us, that currently wires into our account every single month, well over $30,000 a month. It's wires in every month into our account, every single month. So if you're talking, I think it's $36,000 every month into our account. And that just keeps coming every month so we can run everything that goes on at this church. So there is a person that does that for us because they believe in what we're doing here. That's not going to be forever, but that is for now. That is how we function every month. Our budget for $500,000, what does that make it on a monthly basis? Anybody do math out there? Is it $45,000 a month? Does that sound right? Call it $45,000 a month. Okay, I think it's $45,000 a month, somewhere close there, okay? $45,000 a month. 35 of that comes from somebody. And then the other 10, we got to make up for, okay? So it's a pretty extraordinary deal that we have here. And that's why so often when you go, I don't get it. How can you do those events for free? And how can you do that? That's how we can do it because somebody does that for us. This building cost $2 million when we purchased it. $2 million. We had somebody write that off for us and go, we'll take care of that for you. So we live in a situation right now where we have a $500,000 budget a year. of which $35,000 a month is taken care of, and we have no debt, and we have no mortgage payment, and we have nothing we have to that hangs over our shoulders financially. I dare you to find a church that is that healthy financially. I dare you, because you won't. You won't find it. And here's the deal. That is not a statement of us being so good at what we do. It's a statement of God being so gracious to what he does. The fact that we can stand here and have all this is an extraordinary act of grace on God's part. Extraordinary. And as a pastor, I wake up every morning going, God, I will live up to the responsibility that you've given us. Because when God provides for a church in that financial, unbelievable fashion, he could only want great things from them. You remember that little thing where God says, to whom much is given, much is required. So, this year, one of our goals as a church is to stand up from our infancy and to stand up onto our feet and go, to whom much has been given, we will now live up to that responsibility. And so I will begin this year to slowly, carefully, and delicately help the church grow into a church that is a giving church so that we can go, God, you gave us, so now we will give back to the community and to this church and to what happens here. And that's where we're going. For now, though, on a month-to-month basis, we have a commitment that for the rest of 2007 into 2008, for that fiscal year, that money will be coming every single month. So my hope is when we get to the end of 2007, that as we pick up the slack on this side as a church, that money, we can spend it on orphanages and houses and people, because the money's going to come. I just want to spend it on something other than this. You know what I'm saying? And so the more we step up to the plate, the more we'll be able to do out there in the world. And that's what I'm excited about. Okay, that's it that I have for you tonight. I know that I went quite a bit, but there was a lot of information to cover, and I don't want to leave anything out. What is the time right now? Can anybody tell me? 7:20. Okay, we have 10 minutes for Q&A. 10 minutes for Q&A. All right, so here I am. You can ask any questions you want. If I can't answer it in less than 10 minutes, I'll tell you that you can come see me afterwards. Any questions? Yes, Kim. Not officially speaking, no. There was a homeschool group that approached us to want to use the building. We started working with them, and then they made a decision that they weren't ready to move into the Claremont area because they're, I think, in Windermere maybe, or Winter Park. Winter Park, yep. And so they just weren't ready to make the move. And facility-wise, we weren't quite ready to meet the needs that they would have. So officially speaking, no, there is no homeschool group coming. However, let me just say this one thing. We have dreamt up a lot of different things about the future for this church. Schooling is obviously a part of that, but the primary area that we've been dreaming about is not just schooling, but we are interested, because of a dream that Sherry Gilbert had actually, we are interested in starting a special needs program here at the church, where we will be a place where people can bring their children who have special needs and they'll be cared for in special and unique ways here. So as we go forward, we're actually in the middle of doing starting work on a building project to build some new children's stuff out there, because I don't know if you guys know this, but the children's rooms are like illegal at this point. There's more kids in the rooms than we are allowed to have in the rooms. So we can't send them home without you.